Amen. I'm going to ask you, before we get to the Word of God, I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 14. Amen. I just want to make a small announcement. We actually went over in our leadership meeting, the fact that sometimes we know things are wrong, but we still do it. And the latter portion of what we did is, why do godly people do the wrong thing? So we went over the first part, so now tonight we're going to go over the rest, amen, and we're going to use a practical application. So the question is, what makes a godly individual do the wrong thing, amen? So let us stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. What makes someone that knows is wrong do the wrong thing? Amen. Well, we know God has been good. And we're going to start off with the first verse. If we have that, okay. Verse 1 reads, if we all have it, for those that don't have their Bible, it is on the screen. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, that means he's been king for how long? 36 years. The Asa, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. So even though they are brethren, Israel is now trying to block those who are coming into Judah or coming out. Then Asa brought out the silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasa, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they spoke Ijon, and Dan, and Abel-Meam, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasa heard it, that he left all the building of Ramah, and let his work cease. Then Asa, the king, took all Judah, and he carried away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasa was building, and he built that with Geba and Mizpah. And it came, and at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Israel, and not he said, because you rely on a man and not on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Now he reminds him, he said, now remember early when you started off, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubians a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on who? The Lord. He delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward them. Him. Herein thou hast done a good man, hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have war. Then Asa was a good king, got angry at the man of God, and put him in prison. And he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. We'll stop there for now. Amen. May the Lord ask blessed to the reading of the word, and the church said, word of the Lord is blessed already. Amen. So Asa is in a point, area of distress. Asa is in an area of fear. And Asa, who is a good man, relies on a man instead of God. That is, as we went over on Sunday, three main areas that cause us to go in error when it comes to dealing with God. When we fear, we don't trust God. Amen. When we get frustrated, we don't want to wait on the Lord. And then when we are in a, when we feel as though we're in a distressful situation, we try to take things into our own hands and serve some of our way. Well, Asa, what kind of man, how did Asa start off? Let's go to 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter. Let's find out how Asa started off before we go into how or what events caused this good king to go and do the wrong things. The question we're dealing with tonight is godly people that God has blessed, God has moved in their lives. What would cause them to do the wrong things? Amen? 2 Chronicles 14, 1 reads, so Abijah slept with his father, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was, he did that which was what? Good. So he started off how? And he started off doing the right thing. Amen? Y'all gonna talk to me? So he started off what? Good and right. How? He wasn't concerned about nobody else. All right, Brother Rusty. I see you. All right, he wasn't concerned about nobody else but who? God. He did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. As long as that is our motto, as long as it is our pattern that we follow, the eyes of who? The Lord. As long as we do what is good and what is right. A lot of people not do what's good in the eyes of the Lord, but they do it the wrong way. But Asa, when he started off with a humble heart. And the psalmist said, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So in the beginning, he starts off right. Verse 3 said, for he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places. So he's cleansing Judah of all idolatry. Amen. Because he's doing what is right and what is good. So he is a good man initially. And break down the images and cut down the grove. And commanded Judah to what? He started off how? Right. Amen. Seek the Lord God of their fathers and do the law and the commandments. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images. And the kingdom was. Somebody said, my household and my rest. Just the words right in the eyes of God. And he may not come when you want him, but I'm assuring God will come on time. Well, how do we know? The Bible says plainly, there is no good thing that God will hold back from them that walk upright. So if you do the right thing in the eyes of God, God will bless you in his season, in your season. God will bless you. But you have to do what is right in the eyes of them. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. And the Bible says, a broken and a contrite heart of God, he will not despise. So if you're doing what is right before God, maybe you don't understand it, but in God's own time, he will move in your behalf. So Asa and his whole kingdom is at rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have what? Sought the Lord our God, and he has given us rest on what? Every side. So they built and as long as you seek the Lord, God will bless you. Amen. As long as you seek him and you got to do it his way, God will bless you. And the scripture said that Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah 300,000. That's a lot. So he had a big army, and out of Benjamin their best shields and drew up bow, 204,000. All these were, they weren't just arrows. They were what? Mighty men of valor. So all together he has like 540,000. Hey man, that's a mighty army, right? But how many know even when you're doing right, the devil will challenge you? Amen. So Asa's doing everything that he knows to do before God. And he's doing it God's way. And his whole dependency was on who? The Lord. He said, listen, I'm going to seek the Lord. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord. And when we get to the 15th chapter, we'll see he went through some extreme measures to show that he was a righteous king. Amen. Verse 9 reads, and they came out against him, Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of a thousand. Now, if you want to multiply 1,000 to 1,000, you know, for math, you know, we remember math, 1,000 is 1 and 3 zeros. When you multiply by 1,000, let's add another 3 zeros. That's how many? 1,000,000, right? So, now he has 540 mighty men, but here comes the enemy, and he's already doubled what he has. Amen? And verse 10 reads, then Asa went out against him and set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha and Merishah. And Asa did what? He starts off how? Right. He starts off doing the right thing. He starts off depending and relying on who? The Lord. Now this is one of those battles. It's like, I can't win this battle. I'm way outnumbered. I don't have anything. You know what? If it's finances, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Right? If it's something, how can I do it? Just depend on God. Don't try to figure it out or work it out your own way. Rest in the Lord. Then Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is. He said, this ain't nothing but a drop in the bucket for you. This is a small thing. Nothing would be to him whether with me or with them that have. He said, help us, O Lord our God, for we rest. Lord, we can't look to anything but thee. We're not confident in man. We're not trusting in anything but God. So he starts off depending on who? The Lord. He said, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. He said, Lord, we don't have no power. We don't have no might. We have no strength against this great army that's coming against us. He said, Lord, we rest on thee. So the Lord spoke the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. So that was his testimony for what God had already done, and he was a what kind of king? A king. Now, let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Amen? Now, I'm going to read it in the 15th chapter when we get there. When, after God had given the victory over the Ethiopians, everything that he took, he went and dedicated it to the house of the Lord. All the silver, all the gold, he gave it to God because he wanted to honor God for the victory that God had given him. So all of this substance he had amassed, he dedicated it to God. Right? Now this is early in his ministry. Now we're going how many years? 36 years later. The battle is not given to the swift, not to them that are strong, but to them that what? Endure. So he starts off well. He starts off completely holy. Dependent upon God. Amen. But then something happens when the king of Israel comes against him 26 years later, because the land had rest for 10 years, probably a little less than that, because they had to build cities and all, and they didn't have all the technology. But somewhere in the process of time,
to change. Asa's dependency is no longer on the Lord. This is when good, godly people do the wrong thing, because they're trusting more in flesh than in God. Amen? So it says in this 36th year, and then the second verse, everything that he dedicated to God, he brought back out, and what belongs to God, he is now giving it to a man. That's the first indication. What belongs to God, don't you give that to anybody else. Tithes, offering, what belongs to God, you might not understand how, you might not be able to figure out, but it belongs to who? Don't give it to anything else. Say, my bill was due. Take care of God first. God will take care of you.
Thank you,
Lord. If you don't say amen, say at least ouch. Amen. Stop holding on to y'all. Right, let's keep going. So he brought out what belonged to God and he gave it to a man. That's when you first don't ever give what belongs to God to anybody else. Amen. Our devotion belongs to who? God. Our praise belongs to who? Don't ever put and include myself upon a pedestal above God. God has to be first. If someone tries to get you to do the wrong thing and you know that your conscience is wrong, don't compromise. Honor the Lord by doing the right thing. And like I said, when we get a little further into the 15th chapter, we're going to see how much Asa initially loved the Lord. Amen. So he gave that which belonged to God to a man. Problem number one. If it belongs to God, give it to who?
Wow.
To God. Amen. Now he said that there's agreement between us, and so on and so forth. But let's go down to verse 7. Now it's alright to make a mistake, but don't be so proud. Don't be so arrogant. Don't be so heady. Don't be so high-minded that when the word of God shows you you're wrong, don't stay wrong. Amen. So God realizes that Asa is going the wrong way. So he said, listen, if I don't try to stop him, he's going to get worse. So he sent a man of God to help get him back on track. How many want to get on track? We all track. I've been on track before. I thank God that he sent a word to get me back on track. Amen. That's part of the process. Remember, Pastor Harper said, failing does not mean failure. So failing teaches us. Like you have to train up a child in the way that he should go, and thank God that in the end, right, Sister Carter? In the end. Right, they'll come back. Hallelujah. Amen. So God sees that Asa is beginning to get drift away from him. He sees that Asa is no longer dependent on him. He sees, as we went over on Sunday in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5, that Asa, pull that up for me real fast, Jeremiah 17, 5. He sees that now Asa, who wholly depended on the Lord, is no longer dependent on God. Asa has shifted his focus from God to man. Whoever the man is, don't ever put more confidence in man than you put in God. Amen. We read in Psalms 116, it said, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? But Jeremiah 17, 5 reads, cursed be the what?
Man.
Cursed be the man that does what? Trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. But even more so than that, his what? Heart. Departs from God. Whatever you're going through, don't trust in anything more than God. Let your confidence be in who? Well, the Bible said that when you put confidence in man and neglect God, you get a what? Curse. Amen. Not swearing, but a curse. Meaning that God's word says that you receive, if you read about it, I believe it's in Deuteronomy, like chapter 28 and so forth. He talks about the curse and the blessing. Amen. If you're obedient and willing, you receive a blessing. When you begin to disobey God, you receive a curse. Right? You read Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 32. But for the sake of time, let's go back to this. So when your confidence shifts, when your dependency shifts, you will do the wrong thing. I don't care how godly, how righteous you are, you will do the wrong thing. So God sends Hananiah the seer to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast what? You have trusted in man. You trusted in the arms of flesh, and you did not rely on the Lord. So then the Lord reminds him, he said, wait a minute. Don't you remember when you had a million men coming against you, what God did for you? He said, we're not the Ethiopian and the Lubians, a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen. Yet because thou, hallelujah. However bad your situation is, don't you trust in anything else. And we're going to go a little later. Don't try to deny. Don't try to be deceitful. Just stay honest. Amen. Stay honest. And let God do it. He said, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them out of thine. He delivered them into thine hands. Right? Why? Because God's eyes are running to and fro throughout thee to show himself. It means God will deliver you in behalf of those whose God, all God wants. You know, forget about people. You know, and I'm learning every day. Don't allow people to make your heart mess up. People that act ugly, you don't have to act ugly. Right? People that act ungodly, you don't have to act ungodly. Don't make people make you do ungodly things. Amen. You got to do what is right. Well, why not do right? Because God is looking for you. Yeah. He's running throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are. That means they're fully, that person means fully committed. Only committed to God. No matter how bad it is, I won't trust in anything but God. God is looking for you. Somebody said, my situation is of such and of such and of such. Just keep looking. Right? Just stay on God's side. Don't trust in anything else. You know, even when you get frustrated, when you're fear, when you get oppressed and depressed and in distress, keep your focus on God. He said, why? Because he's looking for you. He's going to draw the whole earth into the heaven of those who are God, perfect towards him. Amen. He said, but unfortunately, you didn't trust God. He said, you have done. Wait a minute. When you begin to drift from God, you're doing what? Foolishness. Why? Because your reliance, your dependency. I know some good people, but I can't depend on them more than I depend on God. I've been in a situation where people have said, do this, do that, do the other. And my wife knows some of them, I say, you know what? That ain't what God wants me to do. You know what I'm saying? So even though I probably lose everything, and there was a time when I lost a whole lot. But I said, you know what? I remember what God told the king of Israel, not the king of Judah, when he went to high Israel, and he had paid him all these talents of gold and money. And God came and said, why do you want to get help from the listen, God said, why do you want to get help from the ungodly? He said, I am not with them. You're going to get help from somebody that I'm not with. And the king of Judah said, well, what about all that money? How many know when you pay your money, you want it back? Oh, well, y'all get your money, y'all want it back. So each thing, I mean, talents of gold, this is like millions he paid. He said, what about all that money that I gave the king of Israel? What am I going to do? He said, God is able to give you that and much more. He said, now you can go ahead and depend on him, but I assure you, you're going to lose. So you know what the king of Judah did? He walked away from the money and trusted in. We have to get to a place in our lives where the things on this earth can't take precedence over pleasing God. You have to get to that point, because when you begin to waver, you do the
wrong thing.
When your confidence is not fully in the Lord, you will do the wrong thing. And I gotta go fast because I gotta get to another part of these scriptures, all right? So Asa is confronted with his wrong. Now, at the heart of the night, this is a man of God that God sent you him out of nowhere. You know what? This Hannah now, the seer, he's only mentioned. He's only mentioned one time in the whole scripture. That's something in itself, right? There's no account of this man that comes to Asa. God came in for a specific reason to try to help the king out. The question is, why did Asa just humble himself and say, you know what, I was wrong. I should not have done that. First of all, I went into the treasure of the Lord's house that was sacred. That was devoted to God. I should never have done that. Why didn't he just humble himself? Because the Bible says, pride goes before. Matter of fact, I saw in the scripture, what about this? He said that one about the Holy Spirit just now this week. Well, who said that? I don't know if you or Elder Tensley or what? No, you know who it was? That's a Bloomfield. On that Holy Spirit, right? In the scriptures, in the scriptures situation. Who said it? Yeah, text. Right? So y'all was reading into my notes, but that's fine. A Holy Spirit goes before a, but God gives you honor when you have humility. Y'all remember that scripture? I'm going to tell you something about those scriptures, right? If you take those scriptures and memorize one every day in the week, you learn seven new scriptures. That's what I try to do. I try to increase my knowledge, right? Because as you get older, they claim your brain cells die. I ain't got time for nothing to be dying. I need to live. I mean, so I work. But when you get so full of pride, you don't want to humble yourself like a good king did. The Bible said he got. Why do you get angry? That's your question. Does it make sense when somebody's trying to help you get back on track? Why would you get angry at someone when you've been wrong? It's quite. I got to learn this skill, though. It's Michael Sands was funny stuff. But why would you get mad when somebody's trying to help you get back on track? Especially when they are a godly individual and God said, I ain't talking about busybody, a nosy. I'm talking about God sends a godly person, and you know they're speaking directly from God. Why would you get angry? Because there's an issue in the heart, and you don't want to do right. So Asa was brought to this year and put him in a prison house, where he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa, at the same time, oppressed some of the people. Verse 11 says, and behold, now if you don't repent when someone confronts you with your wrong and you know you're wrong, I'm not talking about you guess. It's shown that you're wrong, but you just want to stay you. That's a bad spot to be in. Change that. God shows that you're wrong. You acknowledge that you can see you're wrong, but pride won't let you surrender. You just hold on. He said, and behold, the acts of Asa, verse 11, first and last, though they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa in the 3 years, God gives him 3 years to change. Right? So he's confronted with his wrong. Listen, you're going wrong. You're doing wrong. God is working. I don't know how long Hananiah stayed in jail because they don't tell us in prison. But I would assume that Asa didn't let him out yet. It says, and Asa in the 39th year of his reign was what? Disease in his feet. Until the disease was exceeding great. But when you start going wrong, it don't change. When you don't try to get it back right, the scripture says this about him. And in his distress, in his greatest be trusted in physicians. That's when you're going the wrong direction. Whatever your situation is, if God has brought it to your attention, I just want to hear him say, well done. Right? I don't care about what people think. You know, and I'm going to tell you this, until you get to the point where you don't allow people to put their stuff on you and make you go against God, it's better to be you and God is always a majority than you and the whole world. It always will be a minority. So don't think you have to compromise because people say, the boss said, well, if you don't do this, I'm going to fire you. So wait a minute, if you want me to sin, fire me. Right? Because God got something better. Right? We allow people to put us in a box, and it's a wrong box. Because our dependency is in man and not God. I've learned, I've seen it, I've gone all over. I'm not talking about any church, I'm talking about all over. People are trying to force you to do the wrong thing. Well, this is how it works. Y'all want to see how it works? This is how it works. So you just go in and do your wrong thing. You all come and go wrong, right? When I was young, I wasn't even saved then. I messed up so bad, I couldn't even sleep at night. I just prayed, Lord, please forgive me. I wasn't even saved, but I grew up in church and I knew what I did was wrong. And I ain't giving you the account, but it's just what's wrong. Long as it's wrong, don't make a difference what it is, right? You got wrong, I got wrong, I always got wrong. Look, you might get some, but I ain't telling you that either. Because we don't fit right now. Anyway, I had done the wrong thing. I couldn't even sleep when I got home. God was just killing my conscience. I prayed then, and I said, Lord, whatever you do, please don't kill me because I know I'll go to hell. Seriously, I said, Lord, just don't kill me. I go to hell. I got up the next morning early. This is when we lived at West Point. Anybody been to West Point, right along the river, it's just railroad tracks. I went along the railroad tracks and prayed some more. Lord, I know what I did was wrong. Now, this is what happens when people are wrong. When you're wrong and God deals with you, forget about people. When you're wrong, guess what? God loves you so much that he won't let you stay in that wrong. So when you're wrong, God begins to deal with your conscience. If you respond, then your conscience is not sealed with a hot iron, and you'll do the right thing. But when God is appealing, say, listen, you know that it's wrong. God don't work like that. God doesn't want his child to act like that, and you persist in that, you're going the wrong direction. Keep a soft heart. Keep a soft mind. I messed up, but now get it right. Don't get mad if somebody godly is trying to get you back on path. God sent them so that you don't go to hell. I was only 16 at this time. But I was like, God, I cannot die like this. I didn't know about being saved. But I knew about doing right from wrong. And I knew what I did was desperately wrong. I said, Lord, I cannot die. In the presence of mine, I had that on my knees praying. Right? I said, I cannot die like this. If God touches you and you know what you got wrong, get it right. Right? All right, so now we're following Asa. Let's go to the problem. Now, he started off right. He's doing the right thing. And he goes into battle. God is with him. Then in the 15th chapter, he had just defeated the Ethiopians. And God sends another man of God to Asa. And God just so good, isn't he? When he wants you to do right, he wants that one. But the Bible says, out the mouth of what? Two or three witnesses that every word be. That's why so many churches keep messing up with one person telling themselves and they just wrong with it. Everywhere, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, even when they had to try and condemn Jesus, they said, you don't have a one witness. What is the second? So they got some people to come and tell them a lie. But God's way is everything you do should be confirmed. Somebody said, God told me this, and this is what God's going to do for you. I said, wait, I hear that, but let me hear it again. Right? Because whatever God does, especially when it's major and critical, he always sends a second witness. Amen? So now he's sending a second witness to, actually this is the first witness to Asa. First one should read, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with. God will be with you as long as you're with. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But unfortunately, if you forsake him, God will also forsake you. All right, then he goes through all the trouble they had. Verse 7, you know, you can read in between for the sake of time. He said, now, but be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak. Your work, don't get weary. If you've been doing good, you know, this is how the devil does. He makes you run ahead. If I keep doing this, I'm going to miss this. I'm not going to get this. Listen, just don't be weary and well do it. Because if you do what's right, your work shall be rewarded. Amen? You don't make me feel like I'm doing the wrong thing. That's right. And when Asa heard these words, listen to this. When the man of God first came to him, when he had the right heart and the right spirit. When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took
courage.
He took
courage.
It takes courage to do the right thing. It takes a weak spirit to do the wrong thing. So it takes what?
Courage.
He took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah. I thought he had already done it. But there was still some that he had not yet removed, right? Then the 14th chapter said he had gotten rid of all the groves, but he took courage and didn't put away even more, right? Because he, in the beginning, he was young. So what God does with us, he said, listen, I need you to do something greater, but right now you can't handle that. So I'm not going to give you too much because I don't want you to struggle with it. So I'm going to give you it as you can receive it. As he told the apostle, he said, there's some things I'm going to tell you, but you're not able yet to what? Receive them. So he gives them to us when we're ready to receive them. So initially he had done a little cleansing. Now God said, I need you to finish up the job. Amen? He put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and out of the cities which he had taken from Ephraim. And then he did something that he had not yet done. He did what? He renewed the altar of the Lord. That's the place of prayer. That's the place where we meet with God. Now in the beginning, he'd done everything, but the altar was still in disrepair. So now he's trying to honor God. God has just given him the victory. He looked at the victory. He said, listen, I need to get back to God, what he's done for me. So he gets rid of that, and then he renews the altar of the Lord that was before the what? The torch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim, Manasseh, out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of bondage when they saw the Lord his God was. Just have God be with you. Don't worry about anything else. God will make a way. Hallelujah. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month in the, it's the 15th year of his reign. Amen. So in the 15th year, something happened between that 15th year and that 36, 21 years, he got to maintain. Right? He got to hold on. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, oxen and sheep and so on forth. And they entered into a covenant to what? They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with part of their heart. And some of their soul. They said, listen, we're going to seek God with all our hearts and with all our souls. And this is how serious this situation was. He said, whosoever will not seek the Lord, you're going to be what? Put to. This is a serious consecration of commitment to God. Say, if you don't seek God, we'll kill you. We're going to put you to death. Amen. How many know everybody all that time will seek the Lord? He said, because if you don't, we're going to put you to death. This is when his heart is what? Right. When he wants to honor God, when he wants to do the right thing, he said, listen, I'm not going to let anything Amen. And verse 14 says, they swear to the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and cornet. And Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all and saw him with the hope. Listen, don't let anything stop you from seeing God. Don't let an individual, don't let a job, don't let a house, don't let a car, don't let money. I'd rather be poor and have nothing than to be rich and go to hell. Right? I used to tell my wife, I know it wouldn't hurt her, I used to pass by a shack. You know, you ever see shacks, stuff that's broke down, disrepair? I used to say, Lord, I'd rather live in that and be saved than live in a mansion on the hill and be lost. That's just my feeling. They ain't my wife. It ain't any bitches either, right? I'm just saying, you know what? I'd rather have nothing and have God than have everything and be without God. I don't want an individual with God, right? God has to be one. A lot of us in the position that we're in, leaning, not because of God or church or people, but because of all those outside forces that the devil is using trying to drift, draw us away from God. Stay with God, and God will stay with you. Amen. And he was found in them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, I believe this was his grandmother, he removed her from being. See, in the beginning, he couldn't do that because he did not have that courage yet. She, as messed up as she was 15 years later, she was that messed up earlier. But now he wants to give back to God for what God has done for him. So he removes her from being. Now, listen, anytime you take your grandma and say, listen, I can't allow you to have this influence, right? Even a relationship. You have to let that, you can't allow that relationship to come between you and God. Amen. He was serious about serving God. He wasn't going to let anything hinder him from serving God. So he removed his own grandmother from being queen because she had made an idol in the grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. Amen. Let's go down to verse 18. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold. So these are the things that he dedicates to God in the 15th year. In the 36th year, the thing he dedicated, he took it from God and gave it to a man. That is not how God operates. Amen? Now, it takes faith to do what's right for God. If you don't have faith, you'll begin to count the consequences. Any consequence without God is not good. Anytime you can count a cause without God is not good. You have to always see God and everything else. Don't see everything else and then God. Keep God number one. Well, how do I keep God number one? You have to walk honestly by faith and not by. If you begin to look around at all that people are doing and accomplishing, yikes, you will mess up. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Time seems to run away. Alright? But we're going to go through this quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Alright? And then we get here. I think we have it, right? We have to keep who's number one. Don't stay in a bad situation. Don't stay wrong when you know it's wrong. How do you stay wrong when you know it's wrong? Because the Bible says if you know it's wrong, to him that knoweth to do the right thing or what is good and doeth it not, it is a no sin will ever go to heaven. I don't care how you pretty up. I don't care what anybody on the radio, the TV, anything else said. God will not have sin in heaven. Adam and Eve sinned, he cast them out of paradise, which was symbolic of heaven, the Garden of Eden. Why? Because you cannot be sinned. And then after he cast them out of the garden, he put a flaming cherub to protect the way back to the tree of life. Why? Because you can't get there through sin. You can't go to heaven if you are in sin. Sin is unholy. God is clean. Sin is unclean. The Bible says, come up before a woman and touch not the unclean thing. That is sin. He said that if you separate from that, then I will be your God and you will be my sons and daughters. If you want, you got to come out from above them and be ye separate, says the Lord. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll get as far as I can in 5 minutes, all right? It says, therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received, mercy means, now we know this word faint means to lose courage, to lose heart, to quit, and to give up. But there's an additional part to this word in the Greek. All right? Besides that, it means also to live with ungodly behavior and with evil, ungodly conduct. This one carries more weight than the others. God has blessed you with mercy. We're saved by mercy. God keeps us by mercy. Now that we're saved, he said, don't faint. Don't live in an ungodly way, and don't let your conduct. What is your conduct? That's how we treat one another. Our conduct, how do I treat you? Right? That we talk. This is a world ministry. Right? This ain't just being saved for yourself. You're in a place of God for others to watch you. So this is a ministry. He said, you can't be ungodly. Look at your behavior and look at your conduct. You're treating, you can't talk to one another like that. That is called fainting. That is called ungodly. God can't bless that. God bless and save you, and you can't treat anybody better than that. You just say, ouch. So he goes on to say now, verse 2 says this. Now, you can do it if you make that stand. He said, but having now the... Yeah, we're dealing with the heart now. We ain't dealing with what people say. We're talking about what God sees. But having renounced when you cast it aside, you throw it away, you won't hold on to it, you won't embrace it, right? Renounce the hidden things, those private agendas that are in our heart. Those secret things, nobody knows but who? God. Renounce the hidden things of. You can't, how are you going to be dishonest and think you'll be seen before God? You can't be dishonest. Oh, brother, I'm with you all the way. Whatever you do, and then you go to somebody else and say, I can't stand him. Right? That's not honest. I know in church, y'all, we don't have too many of that. Thank God. But if there is any, what is dishonesty? This, I'm going to stop right here. I'm not going to get much further than this, right? What is dishonesty? It's to deceive or betray someone in a shameful and ungodly way. If you act in a shameful, ungodly way towards one another, that is dishonest. I can't go to the elder Tinsley and say, hey, you are the greatest elder in the world. And go to the elder Mack and say, man, I'll be glad when he gets out of the church. That just, and I ain't doing that. Don't tell him to be getting stuff like this. I'm just saying. I think y'all smoke enough to handle this. That is not honest. Whatever you say in secret, God hears it. Whatever you do in the dark, God. Y'all don't do this, but you know what some churches say, I'm going to tell you this, but don't you tell nobody else. You know, y'all ain't seen that? I mean, this is what y'all say on TV. Y'all ain't seen it. That is dishonest. He said, you have to renounce that. God can't help you if you're not honest. And God can't bless you if you're walking in craftiness. Well, who is the greatest example of walking in craftiness? When Satan met Eve in the garden, he was intentionally misleading her away from what God says do. That God can't bless that. God won't use that. Amen. God can't handle someone that's always in the background creating stirs. That's not God. God don't like that. That is dishonest. If I'm in charge of a hula hoop club, thank God I made them sorry. We got the hula hoop clubs. They only make it look more. If I'm in charge of a hula hoop club in this ancient church, so don't work there. That just make up something. If I'm in charge of the hula hoop club, and everybody's, oh yeah, I'm all for you, Pastor. I'm all behind you. And then when we dismiss it, oh, something wrong, Pastor. And it is something wrong if I got a hula hoop club. I'm just trying to say this. But in my face, you're all with me. But when you go away, you got some underground, some cover stuff. That's called hidden things. That's not honest. That is crafty. He said, not handling the word of God how? Deceitfully. Deceitfully, when you handle the word of God, is you take the word of God and twist it to make it fit your situation to get somebody to do something that God did not want them to do. That's not right. It is dishonest. So how will a good person do the wrong thing? They're no longer honest. Where are you at? Well, I got stuck on the bus over here, but you forgot to tell about all that other stuff you did that got you stuck before you got to the bus. You know, we gotta make it look good. That's not honest. So what happened? Oh, you would never guess what really happened to me. All this stuff happened, and you only told 20% of it. Because you didn't tell all that you did before you got to that. That is not honest. Well, how did you miss the bus? Oh, I missed the bus because, oh, my way here, this happened, that happened. Oh, but you forgot to tell them that you were in the wrong place doing the wrong thing before you got to that place. That is dishonest. That is called fainting. Because your conduct is wrong, your behavior is wrong. Amen? But he goes on to say in the latter part of the verse, he said, but by manifestation of the truth. Just be truthful. If you did it, ain't no use in lying. Because eventually it's going to have to come out anyway. And I heard the book of Revelation say that all lies will have their part in the fire. That's the second death. That's when you go to the lake of fire. And who's the father of all lies? The Bible says the devil is the father of all lies. He doesn't know the truth and he doesn't abide nowhere near the truth. So the minute you start being dishonest and lying, you have surrendered your fathership to the devil. That will make you do the wrong thing. The moment you live dishonestly, you do the wrong thing. Well, why? Because when you're dishonest, you have to cover up. And then when you cover up, you have to keep covering up because you're living a lie. So you can never get it right. Right, but let me finish here. But the truth committing ourselves to every man's conscience as we feel like. My conscience is clear. I don't feel such and such. Right? But the conscience is supposed to be clear in the sight of me because it's me and I can do what I want to do. Right? I don't want to be like y'all ladies. Ladies be doing them, but Zoe. You know what I mean? But it's clear in the sight of who?
God.
If it's wrong in God's sight, it's wrong in everybody's sight. You can just tell your part truths. Play like the other. I'm all with it. God said, I heard you, I saw you. How do you know God sees you where you are? He told him, it's like, I'm telling you where I'm going here. You know why Nathaniel believed God when his brother Philip came and said, hey, I found the Messiah. Nathaniel said, hey, can any good thing come out of it? Can anything good thing come out of Nazareth? Jesus said, before your brother came to you, I saw you when you were under the tree. He said, oh, he's the Lord. Because you saw me, where was that? As we all stand. God sees us wherever we are. God hears whatever we say. And then if you haven't heard about to say it, God reads our hearts. It's so important in this day and age. Don't be godly and do the wrong thing. Keep God. Honor God. Let's honor God above everything. Honor God above anyone. On Sunday, we went over, if your mother and father forsake you, then the Lord will. Don't put more confidence in any relationship than your relationship with God. And that's the tool the devil is using to destroy so many people. That's why people in homosexuality, lesbian, and all that, because they lost sight of who God is and what God loves. And they put more stock in relationships than God. I ain't gonna go with that, but please God. Who wants to please God? Who wants to please God? Who wants to go to heaven? There's only one way. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth and I am the life. No man can get to the Father except they come. You cannot approach God with dishonesty, deceit, craftiness, or lie. We got to come right as we all stand and the altar workers come forward in Jesus' name.
How many of us want to be right with the Lord? How many of us want to be right with the Lord? Hallelujah. Because we know that God sees all and He knows all. We just want to be right with the Lord. This is an opportunity for us, if we've been wrong, to get right. To let the Lord know that no matter what it takes, Lord, I just want to be right with you. An opportunity to come to the altar and lay our burdens down. Say, it's me, O Lord, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know, so often we listen to the Word of God and we think about all the other people that it applies to. But God is saying, I'm looking at you. I see your heart. I know what your intents are. I'm trying to reach you. He's trying to reach me. And I'm saying, Lord, it's me, O Lord. And I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh God, fix me. Help me to see myself the way you see me. Oh God, help me, oh God, just to surrender to you. Say, not my will, Lord, not my way, oh God, but thy will be done.